How's everybody doing? Man, I feel a lot of energy in here. It can't be that it's Super Bowl Sunday. I think it's that we're here to learn about God, right? Man. Good. It also helps when it's a little warmer, when it's sunny. It's not raining after a long week of rain. I am so glad to be here to share with you what we're going to look at today in Psalms. This is our Sunday morning Bible class. We've been studying Psalms. We've been looking at a lot of different things. We finished 2 weeks of looking at the Hallelujah Psalms and learning about praising God. And today we're going to look at the attributes of God that are mentioned in Psalms. But before we get started, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we lift you up. We praise your holy name. You are our God. Father, today we want to learn more about your attributes. We want to understand you better. Father, we want to have a relationship with you that is deep and meaningful. And Father, we want to be in the proper fear and reverence of all of you. Father, we want to rely on you in the right ways, to have a better understanding and respect. Father, we want to honor you. And Father, to do so, we just have to have a relationship. Father, thank you for bringing us here safely this morning. Thank you for blessing us in so many ways this week and taking care of us in ways that we don't even understand. We thank you for Jesus and pray in his name. Amen. We're going to take a look at the attributes of God. In Psalms 33, verses 8 through 9, it says, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast." One of the attributes of God is he is omnipotent. Omnipotent. That's a big word. I have to look such words up. But very simply, it means he's all-powerful. He has very great and unlimited power. Why is this important for us to understand? Because if you're going to live your life for God, you want to understand that God is able to do whatever we ask or imagine. He is able to be relied upon. We need to have a clear understanding of that so that we can live by faith. You see, the Bible refers to God as the Almighty. The Almighty. The Scripture refers to that reference of Almighty 333 times. Almighty. The Almighty. Driving into our brains, God is all-powerful. God says that about Himself. In Genesis chapter 17, verse 1, He says it in Genesis 35, verse 11. He refers to Himself as, "I am the God Almighty." That's what He says about Himself. We ought to be referring to Him as God Almighty. God can do anything. God can do anything. But there is a but. There are several limitations. Let's talk about this, because the fact is we live in a secular society. We live in a society that doesn't believe that there could be a being that is all-powerful, almighty, that can do anything. So how often have you had a conversation where you're sharing your faith or you talk about God with someone who doesn't believe, and they throw out something ridiculous? And they say, if God is so powerful, could He make a rock so big that He couldn't lift it? That's ridiculous. It's absurd. C.S. Lewis talks about that, and I'm going to read you a quote from him. It says, His omnipotence means power to do all that is intrinsically possible, not to do the intrinsically impossible. You may attribute miracles to Him, but not nonsense. This is not limit to His power. If you choose to say God can give a creature free will and at the same time withhold free will from it, you have not succeeded in saying anything about God. Meaningless combinations of words do not suddenly acquire meaning simply because we prefix to them two other words, God can. It is no more possible for God than for the weakest of His creatures to carry out both of two mutually exclusive alternatives. Not because His power meets an obstacle, but because nonsense remains nonsense even when we talk about it, about God. Does that make sense? God's not about nonsense. He is almighty. He is all-powerful. Let's see what Psalms says about the omnipotence of God. In Psalm 107, verses 23 through 30, and I'll forewarn you, this is like all the other times when I'm teaching. There's so many scriptures. I'll get you the references. Hang on. If you can capture them while I'm talking, God bless you. But we'll put them out there. In verse 23, it says, Others went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, His wonderful deeds in the deep. For He spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunken men. They were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm. He guided them to their desired haven. God controls the elements. Psalms 135, 5 through 18. I know that the Lord is great, that our Lord is greater than all gods. The Lord does whatever pleases Him in the heavens and on the earth, in the seas and all their depths. He makes clouds rise from the ends of the earth. He sends lightning with the rain and brings out the wind from His storehouses. He struck down the firstborn of Egypt, the firstborn of men and animals. He sent His signs and wonders into your midst, O Egypt, against Pharaoh and all his servants. He struck down many nations and killed mighty kings, Sihon, king of Amorites, Og, king of Bashan, and all the kings of Canaan. And He gave their land as an inheritance to His people, Israel. Your name, O Lord, endures forever. Your renown, O Lord, through all generations. For the Lord will vindicate His people and have compassion on His servants. The idols of the nations are silver and gold, made by the hands of men. They have mouths, but cannot speak. Eyes, but they cannot see. They have ears, but cannot hear, nor is their breath in their mouths. Those who make them will be like them, and so will all who trust in them. God is greater than all gods, and He can do whatever pleases Him. Psalm 136. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of Lords. His love endures forever. To Him alone who does great wonders. His love endures forever. Who by His understanding made the heavens. His love endures forever. Who spread out the earth upon the waters. His love endures forever. Who made the great lights. His love endures forever. The sun to govern the day. His love endures forever. The moon and stars to govern the night. His love endures forever. To Him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt. His love endures forever. And brought out Israel from among them. His love endures forever. With a mighty hand and outstretched arm, His love endures to ever. To Him who divided the Red Sea asunder, His love endures forever. And brought Israel through the midst of it, His love endures forever. But swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea, His love endures forever. To Him who led His people through the desert, His love endures forever. Who struck down great kings, His love endures forever. And killed mighty kings, His love endures forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, His love endures forever. And Og, king of Bashan, His love endures forever. And gave their lands as an inheritance, His love endures forever. An inheritance to His servant Israel, His love endures forever. To the one who remembered us in our low estate, His love endures forever. And freed us from our enemies, His love endures forever. And who gives food to every creature, His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven, His love endures forever. There's a list. The fact is, God is the Almighty. Let's look at another attribute of God. He is omniscient. What does that mean? He's all-knowing. He's all-seeing. He has infinite knowledge and understanding. He knows everything that can be known about you, including your thoughts and your feelings, your life. He knows everything that's going on in the universe. Let that sink in just a little bit. You serve a God that knows you intimately. Each and every one of us. He knows what's going on everywhere at all time. That is the God we serve. You can't hide from Him. In Exodus 3:14, God said this about Himself to Moses. I am who I am. Because Moses was asking Him, who do I say you are? He said, you tell Him, I am has sent you. Think about that. I just am. I know everything. I'm everywhere. We know He's all powerful. I am. What does that mean in your relationship with God? That's what I want you to think about. If He knows you intimately, and He knows your thoughts and your feelings, He knows you individually, you can have a deep relationship with your God. A personal relationship. You can be directly tied in with Him. Let's look at Psalm 139. O Lord, You have searched me, and You know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, You know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in, behind and before. You have laid Your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from Your Spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When you read these Psalms, it moves you. This is the God that you serve. This is the one who knows you. What an intimate relationship. There is none other that is so close to you. And yet sometimes we feel so far apart from God. That is not the reality. That's a feeling. This is the truth. In Psalm 11:4, it says, "The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord is on His holy throne. He observes the sons of men. His eyes examine them." God examines us. He watches us. In Psalm 147, verses 4 and 5, it says, "He determines the numbers of the stars and calls them each by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit." And I'm going to jump out of Psalm to 1 John 3:20 because I can. And it says, "Whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts and He knows everything." Even when our hearts are messed up, even when we're confused, God knows everything. And we can rely on that. We're going to have to keep moving. We could spend so much time on each one of these attributes. I'm going to have to fly. And if I could cover even just the ones I want to, we'll be fortunate. God is omnipresent. What does that mean? He's everywhere at the same time. Now think about that. How's that happen? I don't know. You see, that's the problem. We as humans limit God with our senses. We limit God from our experiences. We put limits on it from our dimensions, and God is not us. Don't limit God with your mind. Stepping out of Psalms again in Proverbs 15:3, it says, "The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good." In Psalm 33, verse 14, it says, "From His dwelling place, He watches all who live on earth." And we've already read Psalm 139, which talks about how He sees all things. He's everywhere. If He's seen each one of us individually, even when we were in the womb, He knew us even before we were conceived. Think about the implications of that. God is holy. What does holy mean? You know what? The dictionary has a tough time with it. They'll give you an answer like, well, let me read it to you. Sanctified, consecrated. Those are hard words to come to have an impact on my head. All right. So he's sanctified, he's consecrated, set apart for holy use. Let's get into, sometimes synonyms help me. Sanctity, sacredness, piety, godliness, saintliness, consecration, devoutness, purity. God is holy. There's no impure thing in Him. There is no sin. There is no nasty thing about God. The Bible mentions holy 500 times. Only the holy, only the pure will see God. Because our God is holy. He will not let something that's unclean come into His presence. That's very important to have an understanding. He is pure. He's, in a sense, unapproachable. But let's look at what the Scripture says in Psalm 22:3. It says, "Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the praise of Israel." And I'm just going to read some sentences here, so bear with me. Psalm 24:3, "Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in His holy place?" The question is rightly answered, no one can, because none of us are pure. None of us are sinless. In Psalm 77:13, "Your ways, O God, are holy. What God is so great as our God?" In Psalm 99, verse 9, it says, "Exalt the Lord our God and worship at His holy mountain. For the Lord our God is holy." This is why we are so fortunate that God has made a way for us to come into His presence by washing us through the blood of Jesus Christ. Because of His nature intrinsically being holy, He had to do something to save us. That's why salvation is necessary. We are sinners. We have failed. We are corrupt in our nature. We've corrupted ourselves. And to be with Him, He sent His Son Jesus so that that stain, those sins could be washed away so that we could be with Him because He wants that relationship with us. That's incredible to me that a God, our Creator, wants a relationship with me so much that He, in His providence, makes a way for me to become pure. How much, therefore, should we try to be pure in our own nature? How much should we hate sin because that is so unlike God? Amen? God is just. What does just mean? He's guided by truth, by reason, by justice and fairness. He does everything according to principle. He's consistent in that. Praise God. Psalm 99, verse 4. "The King is mighty. He loves justice. You have established equity. In Jacob you have done what is just and right." In Psalm 11, verses 5 through 7, "The Lord examines the righteous, but the wicked and those who love violence His soul hates. On the wicked He will rain fiery coals and burning sulfur. A scorching wind will be their lot. For the Lord is righteous. He loves justice. Upright men will see His face." We serve a just God. When He makes a decision When He makes a ruling, it will be just. On the day of judgment, may we not receive justice from that. Fortunately, He has an attribute that's called mercy, which we will be looking at in just a moment. Praise God that He washes our sins away and we don't get what we deserve. But God is just and He will not tolerate sin. And you know what? This is an important point, is we can't fool ourselves. We can't live as if God isn't just. Does that make sense? He has justice and mercy. But you cannot fool God. The Scripture says in the New Testament, you will reap what you sow. God has both justice and mercy. The evildoer will get what he or she deserves. So let's talk about mercy. There we go. God is merciful. One who shows compassion. The synonyms of that are kindness, kind-heartedness, leniency, being generous, sympathetic, forgiving, gracious, understanding, forbearing, benevolent. We serve such a God. In Psalm 86, in verses 5 through 6, and we'll also look at verses 15 through 17. It says, "You are forgiving and good, O Lord, abounding in love to all who call to you. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Listen to my cry for mercy. In the day of my trouble, I will call to you, for you will answer me." In verse 15, he says, "But you, O Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Turn to me and have mercy on me. Grant your strength to your servant and save the son of your maidservant. Give me a sign of your goodness, that my enemies may see it and be put to shame. For you, O Lord, have helped me and comforted me." What a great God to have a relationship with who is compassionate to us, who understands that we are sinners and that we are flawed and that He gave us Jesus Christ, that we can have compassion and mercy. We have someone who lived a human life, who understands hunger and temptation, who went through these things and can show us compassion and kindness. We can call on God in time of trouble. We can call on our God when we are feeling judged and accused. When we are feeling like we're just not worthy. When we are hurting, He is a merciful God. Let's look at another attribute. Our God is a faithful God. Faithful means consistently loyal, consistently trustworthy, especially to a person, promise, or duty. We have a God who gives us many promises, precious promises, that when you look in the Scripture, you get one promise after another. And because God is faithful, we can believe and rely on that. God keeps His promises. He keeps His word. That is alien to us because most do not. From our reference, we're always disappointed. Someone gives up on us. Someone quits on us. Someone lies to us. And we have done the same. God's not like us in this. There are so many references in the Scripture to God's faithfulness. because He knows that we struggle with this. This is so outside of our understanding. Someone who is truly faithful to us, who is faithful to Himself, who keeps he keeps His own word. In Psalm 119, in verses 89 through 91, he says, "Your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Your faithfulness continues through all generations. You establish the earth and it endures. Your laws endure to this day, for all things serve you." In Psalm 33, verses 10 through 19, "The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever. The purposes of His hearts through all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people He chose for His inheritance. From heaven, the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From His dwelling place, He watches all who live on earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear Him, on those whose hope is in His unfailing love, to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine." God stands firm forever. In Psalm 145, verse 13, just write these down. "Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and Your dominion endures for all generations. The Lord is faithful to all His promises and loving toward all He has made." Psalm 18:25, "To the faithful You show Yourself to be faithful. To the blameless You show Yourself blameless." Psalm 25:10, "All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful for those who keep the demands of His covenant." Psalm 33:4, "For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all He does." And finally, there are many more. I'm just giving you a selection of these things. Psalm 136:3, "Give thanks to the Lord of Lords. His love endures forever." God is faithful to us. We can rely on Him. If you hear one of many things today in His attributes, He will do what He says. He is trustworthy. Our God is also eternal and changeless, meaning He lasts for all time, without beginning or end, unchanging, unaffected by the passage of time. Indeed, time is meaningless. If you want to get philosophical, this is a tough one. I mean, each one of these things that we've looked in qualities, men argue about in philosophy all the time, over the centuries. Eternal, how could something have no beginning, no end? Just is. I don't know. But that's our God. In Psalm 90, in verses 1 through 4, it says, "Lord, You have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or You brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, You are God. You turn men back to dust, saying, 'Return to dust, O sons of men.' For 1,000 years in Your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night." I think we've heard that reference before, when Paul and Peter and people talking about the passage of time. In Psalm 119:89, "Your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens." And then Psalm 102, verse 27, it says, "But You remain the same, and Your years will never end." We serve an eternal God. Would you put your faith and hope in a deity that's going to have an end? Another attribute of God is His compassion. Oop, I skipped one. Righteous. His righteousness. Righteous means being strictly observant of morality, always behaving according to a religious or moral code, considered to be correct, responding to injustice. God will respond to the injustices that we see, to the horrors that we see because of men and how they behave. That's why when someone wrongs us, we should put, rather in revenge, let God handle it. Because He is a righteous God who is just. He will take care of it. In Psalm 11, verse 7, it says, "For the Lord is righteous, He loves justice, upright men will see His face." In Psalm 116, verse 5, it says, "The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion." And in Psalm 119, 7, it says, "I will praise You with an upright heart as I learn Your righteous laws." God makes laws that are righteous. Now we'll go to God being compassionate. Like I said, each one of these you need to study further. There's so much more on the attributes of God, and there's more than I mentioned. I've only selected 12. God is compassionate, showing feelings of sympathy for the suffering of others with a desire to help. I really recommend that you do a word search on this in the Bible and read the references. You'll be in awe of the compassion of God. You will see the history of His compassion with men. In Psalm 103, verse 13, it says, "As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him." In 119:77, "Let your compassion come to me that I may live." And then Psalms 145:9, "The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all He has made." And then the final attribute of God that we'll take a look at today is that God is sovereign. God is the supreme authority. He's superior to all others. He is the chief. He's the greatest. Supreme in power. Supreme in rank. All authority. Holding the position of ruler. He's the royal. He's reigning. Our God is sovereign. That's why it's so important that when we confess, make the good confession, "Jesus is Lord," that we are showing our understanding of the sovereignty of God. That's what we do when we say we're going to become a disciple, and say, "You reign. You reign in my life. You are my Lord." We can't just speak that. The Scripture warns us about that. There's going to be a lot of people that are, "Lord, Lord." And He doesn't know who we are because we didn't really make Him king. In Psalm 71, verse 5, it says, "For You have been my hope, O sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth." In Psalm 93, verse 1, it says, "The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and is armed with strength. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved." And finally, in Psalm 95, verse 3, "For the Lord is the great God, the King above all gods." The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, "Listen, Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul and with all your strength. It's my hope as we've been studying Psalms is that you're learning about God, that you're developing a relationship with Him so that you can worship Him appropriately, that you will do it with your mind, that you'll do it with your heart, that you'll do it with all your strength. Next week, what's going to happen is Danny Doble is going to pick up in our study of Psalms, and he's going to run with it, and I'm very excited for what he is going to be sharing with you. And I really hope that you are connecting with God on a deeper level. It's been a pleasure covering Psalms with you so far, and I am looking forward to continuing to study this. What we're going to do right now is get our kids, come back in here, and we're going to worship God together in our worship service. Amen?